The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Cowboys' CeeDee Lamb had himself a day, putting the Cowboys in position for one of Dak Prescott's two TD passes to Dalton Schultz and Ezekiel Elliott's TD run in a 28-20 victory over the New York Giants on Thanksgiving Day. Despite the win, penalties continue to be an issue for Dallas. Here's Mike McCarthy and Dak.
To win a game when you have, you know, 2-1 penalties of your opponent, you know, that's obviously not where you want to be.
We got to be more disciplined, stop hurting ourselves on drives and self-inflicted wounds, whether it be me turning the ball over, being too aggressive, or not on the same page as receivers. False starts, we've got to clean all that stuff up. But I'm as confident as I can be. I know what this team is capable of, especially with this defense that we have. As I said, we control everything that's in front of us.
All right, Sam Acho, when we're talking title hopes, who is the most important player, critical player on the Cowboys not named Dak Prescott?
I think it's got to be Micah Parsons. And part of the reason why is that his ability to not only change games but to wreck games. 12 sacks on the season, 6 games, double-digit sacks. If you're playing against a team that's passing the ball, you might say, man, Trayvon Diggs need him to cover somebody. A good pass rush can eliminate all of that. Man, offensively, okay, let's say Zeke's not playing great. You got Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard's not playing great. You got Zeke. But you need someone in the playoffs. Like, that's why Von Miller went to – that's why Buffalo went and got Von Miller. Someone who can completely change games. We saw it last year when the Cowboys played Kansas City. He changed the game, like, pretty much single-handedly. Mm-hmm. And so all the stuff, pass rush, coverage, working together, offensive, explosion, making plays. You need somebody that can not only, like, get negative plays, take the ball away. That's what Von does. That's what Michael can do.
By the way, Von Miller dealing with a knee injury, and we'll have an update on that a little bit later in the show. Yeah.
You know, for me, it's Tony Pollard. I think you were right, you know, in your initial statement. Tony Pollard, you talk about easy scores, right? Zeke is a ground and pound guy. You need somebody that can get you easy scores, somebody that can be explosive. And, you know, teams are going to have great, you know, cornerbacks, or they're going to double CeeDee Lamb. You need somebody that can, you know, get the ball in their hands in multiple ways. Tony Pollard is not only a great receiver, he's also a great runner in between the tackles. He's a guy that I think sets the tempo and sets the stage for this offense, and I think he's a guy that you really can't take away because you can match him up in personnel. They have this 4 tight end set now where it forces you to go big. He can break the formation and use him in a slot in the receiver against safeties and against linebackers as well. And he's a matchup nightmare. And I think, you know, I thought yesterday was going to be his coming out party. A couple of weeks ago against Minnesota was really his coming out party. I think a little bit more of the same. If they are going to go far, it's going to be because he's having explosive plays and an impact in the game in between the tackles.
I disagree, and only from this sense. I know Tony Pollard is the leading rusher on the Dallas Cowboys. I know he's averaging about 5.6 yards a carry. Ezekiel Elliott is a key for me. The reason why he's a key is I'm taking Micah Parsons for granted. I'm assuming he's going to do what he's going to do.
Yep.
I'm assuming because of him, we're going to see what we've seen from the Dallas defense, particularly against the pass. Dak Prescott's going to have CeeDee Lamb, and he's going to have Michael Gallup, and he's going to have Schultz, and he's got to cut down on those turnovers, and they've got to cut down on those penalties. But it's an entirely different Dallas Cowboys team when Ezekiel Elliott is running the football effectively. When he's rushing the football effectively, and they're employing that ground and pound attack as opposed to having an elusive running back, it's a different dimension because it makes Tony Pollard better. It also makes Dak better. Okay? And not only that, it provides a safety net for the rest of the offense, particularly that offensive line that doesn't have to worry about being penalized so much when you simply hiking the ball and you smashing folks, you going forward. It creates something a bit different. And I don't think any other player on the Dallas Cowboys has the potential to do all of those things for the Dallas Cowboys than an effective Ezekiel Elliott has. If he doesn't do that, can they still win? Sure, they can still win because they got the talent to do it. But when the Dallas Cowboys are really, really scary, it's because they're effective on all cylinders, and that usually starts with Ezekiel Elliott. That's the name that comes to my mind.
But if you have an effective Ezekiel Elliott and an ineffective Tony Pollard, the offense ain't the same. It's just not. Let's say it was 92 rushing yards last game, season high. That was effective. Mm-hmm. But without that changeup,
that spice. But I would say this to you, Sam. I've never seen Ezekiel Elliott effective and then Tony Pollard not. Hmm. I've never seen that. Because when you have to worry about Ezekiel Elliott, then it changes when Tony Pollard comes in there and gives you something a little bit different. Hmm. I've never seen him ineffective when Ezekiel Elliott was effective. Hmm. Now, when Ezekiel Elliott is not effective and you have to depend on Tony Pollard, most times he delivers, sometimes he doesn't. But he's never failed to deliver when Ezekiel Elliott is delivering. If Ezekiel Elliott can run the football effectively for you and open things up and softens a defense and contributes to softening a defense, then Pollard takes advantage of that.
No, I'll back you up with the fact that I think that Ezekiel Elliott is the heart and soul of this team, right? We understand that, you know, he's starting to get a little slippage. He's not the feature back. He reminds me of the effect that Mark Ingram used to have when he was with the Saints and when he was with the Ravens. He's the guy that's going to do the tough stuff. He's the tone setter. He's the guy that's going to loosen up the linebackers. He's the guy that's going to stand on the train tracks and be the physical, emotional leader. But at the end of the day, I think that Tony Pollard gives him a better chance, if he plays well, to be effective, to get some upsets. Because I still don't know if I'm convinced with this Dallas Cowboy team as far as a true Super Bowl contender. I think they are a team that can maybe win one or two games. I don't think they're a team that can win a Super Bowl.
That's why you need that game changer. Like, effective offense and effective and splash and, you know, like you got, you know, the one guy's running it downhill, other guy's trying to get it outside. That's helpful and effective, but you need something or someone
easy
that
scores.
Can completely change. Not only easy scores, that can change the momentum, that can win a game single-handedly. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott's not going to win the game single-handedly for you. He's going to need Dak or Tony Pollard. He could do some stuff, and he's done some stuff. But when you have a game changer, a game wrecker, a dude, when you're playing whoever, like, let's go to Super Bowl, and you're playing a team like the Chiefs, you got to get after that quarterback. I mean, Zeke can't do that.
Yeah.
So that, for me, like, when you're playing the best offenses, you could say Philadelphia run the ball.
Here's where your argument has helped.
Yep.
The likelihood is that if we're talking Buffalo or Kansas City, their success on offense isn't predicated on their running game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's about passing that football. And that plays right into Dallas's hands.
Right.
Okay. You Cincinnati, to a lesser degree, same thing. You Baltimore, different animal.
Yeah.
You Tennessee, different animal. Okay. But Miami, even though they're throwing them, now Miami's where it changes. Because even though their success is predicated on passing, not running, you just talking about a 5-yard pass to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
And that brothers can take
can
it to
the house. Can we transition this, though, and get back to your point that you don't think they're a real contender? Tell me why.
One, we've been hearing them say, I feel like it's Groundhog's Day when I'm talking about the penalties and the turnovers by Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Two, every time I see the Cowboys have a successful game, it's because it's in perfect environments. I don't know if they can go out. Listen, because I think that Philadelphia wins the division, they're going to have to show me that they can get tough and gritty outside in the real elements, outside where the throwing conditions aren't great, outside where the surface isn't great. I don't know if they. I don't know if they're tough enough,
my
man.
My problem with you, what you're saying is that the only team that poses that threat for Dallas is Philly.
San Francisco.
It's not that those elements aren't that terrible.
Who beat them last year?
No, I'm talking about the elements.
I'm only talking
about the elements.
I'm talking about that. I'm talking about that grass field, right? We haven't seen them take this show on the road outside, right? And that's usually what playoff football is about, right?
Bad weather.
You got to play a couple bad weather
guys.
Games.
San Francisco ain't bad weather.
It's natural grass, which slows the teams down, right? It's not a faster surface for CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard to kind of run crazy and use all that speed that they have. But also, like, San Francisco will be super windy, right? Can they win a phone booth game?
I will confess, I am no fan of Bay Area weather.
Yep.
I am not a Northern California fan. I love Southern California. I am not a Northern California fan. I get all of that. The only thing I like about it is that when I'm walking by the water, it's nice to see those killer whales and those sharks surfacing and see what happens with that. As long as I'm not in that damn water, I like seeing it. But the bottom line is this. You got a point with the wind and stuff like that. I just think that when we talk about inclement weather, you know, I remember when I had to cover Tampa when they went to the Super Bowl. They beat Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I was at that game. Mm-hmm. I looked 300 pounds because of the amount of clothes I had on.
Yeah.
It was freezing. It was freezing. I was shocked that Tampa won that game just because of how inclement the weather was.
But struggled there for years going up there.
But the weather was bad. See what I'm saying? Dallas doesn't have to worry about anything like that come January in the postseason in the NFC. Right. They don't have to worry about it.
We got to roll real quick. You sold on Dallas?
I'm not sold on Dallas. Okay. Not even for the weather piece, but this consistency piece.
Yeah.
The penalty is still not cleaned up. Mm-hmm. Turnovers, some of those early turnovers, you've overcame it, but it's the Giants. It's not like a real
world
team that you're
about to make a prediction right here. If they don't clean up their penalties, the sloppiness, and it costs them another playoff game, Sean Payton going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
He wants to be the Chargers. He going to L.A. He wants some sun.
He
want
to be the Chargers. But let me tell you something. Ain't no bad consolation prize. And the Dallas Cowboys would make an argument. They ain't no consolation prize at all. Mm. But if they don't clean up these penalties and they lose a playoff game because of sloppiness, not because somebody gets outplayed, but because of sloppiness.
Things you can control,
That will be held against Mike McCarthy.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Takes. Let's get it. Sam, Bills linebacker Von Miller suffered a knee injury. Thursday's 28-25 win over the Lions was ruled out after he was carted to the locker room. He will undergo an MRI among other tests to confirm the diagnosis today. Sam, your reaction?
Huge news. Huge news, and it's bad news. Depending how bad it is, it's going to be interesting to find out. But Von Miller is second in the NFL in pressures in the fourth quarter. When it's crunch time, he knows how to win, number one. Number two, the reason Buffalo went and got him was for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. If he's going to be out for any of that time, it's going to be major issues for the Buffalo Bills. And so, 8 sacks, leads the team. The injury also didn't look good. So this is really, really, really big news for the Buffalo Bills.
Could be a huge hit. Team is cautiously optimistic, according to our Jeremy Fowler. Michigan versus Ohio State highlights a full rivalry week slate in college football. Georgia hosts Georgia Tech and Clemson hosting South Carolina at noon. The Iron Bowl between Alabama and Auburn at 3:30 as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's time to do this. It sounds like you want this first.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. What's the best rivalry, Stephen A., in college football?
Please. Alabama versus Auburn.
Auburn.
In the last 42 years, okay, I got the numbers here, man.
Yeah.
Since 1980, Alabama has 22 wins. Auburn has 20. Auburn has 20. The Iron Bowl. The Iron Bowl. I mean, it's always a thriller, right? Nick Saban.
Hold on. This is the sexiest one for you.
We ain't buying what you're selling.
Auburn and Alabama.
Yes.
That's the sexiest
matchup, the greatest
of all time.
Okay. Georgia is obviously Georgia and Alabama. That's real now.
Yep.
But the point is, that wasn't the case for many, many years.
Yeah.
It was about Auburn and Alabama now, okay? You share the state with one another. You go at it no matter who's big and who's small. Somehow, some way, it's an epic battle.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's lost to Auburn 5 times.
Yep.
He lost to Auburn 5 times. That don't happen to Nick Saban, okay? But it's happened to him against them and against LSU, okay? So I got to pay attention to that. Now, I can't dismiss that. Then I got to look at this right now. This is the biggest thing that I hold against Michigan, Ohio State, because a lot of people want to bring that up. You lost to them 8 straight times, man. 8 straight. Ohio State was dominant until last year. 8 straight damn times. Yeah. And so to me, there ain't no rivalry when one side getting their ass kicked. That's just how I feel about it.
Have you been to a game at the Shoe or the Big House in person?
I have been to the Big House.
Okay.
I have been to the Big House. It was years ago when I did, quite frankly. Yeah. I went to the Big House. That was a great, great experience. You said, but the Iron Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Alabama. You can't even say that with a straight face. Iron Bowl versus Michigan, Ohio State. That must be where you're going.
It's Michigan, Ohio State. It's not close.
Yeah.
Why?
Here's why. They don't even, two things. Number one, they don't even say the name of each other's team.
Yeah.
Right? It's like Michigan players don't even say Ohio State. Ohio State doesn't say Michigan. Yeah. They call it the game. They don't even say, Iron Bowl. This is the game. There's only one other team in college football that says the game, and that's Yale and Harvard and other in this conversation. That's what this is. You saw the joy, the elation, the passion last year when Michigan was able to beat Ohio State. You said it. Lost 8 straight times. 7 of the last out 8. 14 out of the last 15. Ohio State had won, and then Michigan found a way to win. That's a rivalry. Oh, by the way, they're both undefeated. Iron Bowl, Auburn, even Alabama this year, they're both undefeated. Consistently, these teams are top 5 teams facing each other. And they are.
I don't know about the consistency part. Not with Michigan. That's just recent. Not with Michigan, Sam. Not recently, man.
12th meeting, because you're reading yourself. Let me get my stats.
Go ahead.
12th meeting is AP top 5 teams, most in the AP poll era. That's a lot.
I'm just talking about the game, man.
I'm not talking about the game.
Auburn has not been consistently relevant.
Right.
So I got you there.
Right. But Ohio State, Michigan, last couple of years, both those teams have.
Last couple of years.
Yeah.
Excuse me, since 2000, what's been the record?
I got the numbers right here.
Ahead. Ohio State is 17-4 since 2000, man.
Michigan has.
I mean, just complete dominant.
100%. But what happened last year? That's why it's even bigger. What's happening this year, Michigan could win.
This is a big deal.
Listen. And whoever wins this game is in the playoffs.
If you're telling me
Iron Bowl? No,
I'll concede. If you're talking about the significance of both programs. But if you're talking about, excuse me, what this game is to both teams, in other words, the level of competition, Ohio State, it's been a romp. All right? That's a fact. Right. Ohio State has dominated Michigan for the better part of the last 22 years.
You would rather watch USC Notre Dame this weekend than you want to watch Auburn Alabama.
How are you going to talk about the Iron Bowl?
That is the truth.
That is not true. How would you know?
Y'all been working together for a long time.
She only talks to me 10 to noon, Monday through Friday. I don't see her or hear from her after that. She doesn't know me like that. The point is, I'm just telling you. Alabama-Auburn, that's a game I look forward to.
I think you just wanted to say Alabama. Look, you're about to laugh right now. Alabama. Actually, I was originally thinking Georgia.
Of course, it was going to be Alabama, but I was originally thinking Georgia
right.
and LSU. But then I thought about how many times I thought Auburn didn't have a chance, and they won.
And you made a mistake.
Here's what's crazy. Michigan's going to go play in Ohio State. Right. Last time they won.
And we know what's
going
to happen.
A lot of us do. Last time they won, November 18th, 2000. CJ Stroud quarterback for Ohio State wasn't even born. But there's intrigue. They won it last year. Can they do it again? Whoever wins in the playoff, if you lose, you're out. Last regular season game of the year.
No.
The game.
I didn't realize they don't even say each other's names.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. They hate each other.
So?
I like
hey,
that.
That's so what? Robert, it's the best rivalry.
So what?
So they're the best rivalry in college football.
Yeah. You know what? You got to win some of those games for it to be a rivalry.
Yeah.
You can't be dominated one-sided like that. You got to win some of those damn games. You can't be losing 17 out of 21 times.
They just did last year.
You can't
year,
be
Stephen
doing
a.
that.
They did last
eight
year.
Straight
made it
until
to the playoffs.
Last year.
They won it last year.
I understand
made it to the
that.
Playoffs.
And I
so
watched that
why.
Game.
You did.
I watched that game.
How great of a game was it? You saw David Ojabo, Aiden Hutchinson. He was playing in the NFL right now. Finally, the expectation was that
Michigan had to win that game.
And they did it.
That's right.
And they may do it again.
They had to win that game.
And they may do it again.
Okay. They ain't going to do it again. They're going to win tomorrow.
Hey, do me a favor. Call me when you're watching the Iron Bowl.
I never call you, Molly.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back into First Take. And Stephen A., you had a special message that you want to share with everybody,
yes,
right?
I do. Thank you so much, Molly. I personally autographed 20,000 copies of my Straight Shooter memoir this Friday, okay? It's Black Friday. Make sure you pick up a copy of my book, Straight Shooter. It is available on pre-sale. This book is very, very special to me. I ain't going to deny it because I get to talk about everything I really can't talk about on television, okay? Now, you need a Christmas gift or want to buy something for yourself? Well, I got the perfect gift for you. Perfect solution, all right? You can pre-order a signed copy of my new book, Straight Shooter, and receive a customized gift certificate, okay? That's this right here, all right? To present to your loved one, friend, family member, or coworker as a Christmas gift. A limited quantity of my autographed deluxe collector set will include the hard copy and my autograph. Yes, it was me. I signed 20,000 copies, okay? You can visit straightshooterbook.com to order your copy today. Once my book is released, the autographed copy will be shipped. Thank you.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
I am a witness of watching him sign. It might have happened in commercial breaks. One or two times.
How about that? All y'all see me do it. Exactly.
One or two times.
What a nightmare. 20,000 copies.
I cannot wait to read it because you actually open up. So I know I'm going to learn quite a bit about you.
Yeah.
Can I make a deal with you?
What's the release date?
January 17th.
I make a deal with you.
Yes.
I'll buy 100 if you personalize mine, and then we'll give them out to people that need to read.
I'll do it.
Just put my say something nice about them so I can lie to my kids and say I was a great one.
I'll do it for you. You got a deal.
Appreciate
I'll do it.
Deal.
I'll do it.
On wax.
My damn right arm going to fall off. I'll do it.
New meaning to tennis elbow, right?
I love it. A great Christmas gift for people to check out. And much more serious news, guys. I want to get into this Jerry Jones story. Mm-hmm. So after the Cowboys beat the Giants yesterday, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones answered more questions about a story published by the Washington Post earlier this week. So the Post published a story with a photo that showed a 14-year-old Jones peering over a crowd of white students as six black teenagers walked up the steps of North Little Rock High School in Arkansas as the school was integrated in 1957. Jones said he was there out of curiosity, not animosity. Here's more from him.
I left 65 years ago, and I had no idea when I walked up there what we were doing. And it just is a reminder to me of how to improve and do things the right way.
Okay. A little context here. The Cowboys are one of seven teams not to have had a black head coach and have had two black coordinators since Jones has owned the team. But their highest football executive vice president of player personnel, Will McClay, is black. Jones has complied with the Rooney Rule, in which teams have to interview minority candidates. Jones said his decisions are made for business reasons, not race. Stephen A., your reaction to all of this.
I'm pretty pissed off. And let me say this. I'm pissed off, but not for reasons that people would think. I'm very, very fond of Jerry Jones. And I'm not hiding that from anybody. Is his record perfect? No. But I'm pissed off because he doesn't deserve what just happened. He doesn't deserve it. One report, our report, said he was 14 years old.
Yeah.
Another report said he was 15 years old. At minimum, that's 65 years ago. You're going to bring up a picture of Jerry Jones standing at this protest. No question what was happening is not something that anybody as a black person should be appreciative about. We had six students at that particular North Little Rock High School that was trying to desegregate the school.
No one should be okay with it.
Nobody should be okay with that.
Regardless of race.
We understand that. We get all of that. We also understand what we as black people and as black folks, black men, have to deal with. And by the way, to some degree, we still deal with a lot of things, and we all know it. Mm-hmm. Racism is alive and well. Bigotry and prejudice is alive and well. We get all of that. What I'm saying is, here's the part that bothers me. You want to get on Jerry Jones and his track record? Fine. In 2003 or so, you know what? You should have hired. Dennis Green shouldn't have got an interview on the phone. It should have been an in-person interview.
Right.
You should have followed the letter of the rule or the law as it pertained to the Rooney Rule. He wanted Bill Parcells, universally recognized one of the greatest football coaches we've ever seen. It was clear he wanted Bill Parcells. Nobody else was going to have a chance of getting that job. That's what he wants to do. You want to malign him for that? Fine. You want to point out that he's one of seven black NFL owners that's never hired an African-American as a head coach? Fine. Do all of that. Attack him for that. Go ahead. Yeah. No problem. I see a plethora of African-Americans employed by him. I see black players who've played for him who rave about this man and what he's done for them on a personal level. But if you want to go by his hiring record when it comes to head coaches, no problem. Can't go the executive route because we know it's him. You know what I'm saying? He want to be the president, the GM, the owner. He want to do everything. And then he's got his children that he leans on as well. So he can't go the executive route. But you want to get on him about the head coaches? Fine. But you're going to bring up a photo of him when he was 14, 15 years old? 65 or 66 years ago. This is where cancer culture gets into the mix. And you're making an attempt to eradicate him, what he stands for, and all he has done. Yeah. I will remind you, we've had Senator Robert Byrd, who passed away a few years ago, that was a member of the KKK. We've had other politicians, you know, whose record, who didn't want to segregate, who didn't want desegregation.
Right.
The George Wallaces of the world, the Bull Connors of the world, and others, okay? We've seen all of this. We've had elected officials on Capitol Hill that are implementing and legislating policy that affects our lives. But we're going to go to Jerry Jones. By the way, I don't have a problem with the photo. Yep. I don't have a problem. If he was 30, 35, 40 years old, that's different.
Right.
14, 15 years old.
Right.
So now some folks are going to get to look at Jerry Jones, and who's from Arkansas. It's the South. We understand what the South represented. You understand what I'm saying? Remember, when slavery ended with the Emancipation Proclamation, you talk about 1863 and what have you. What did Dr. Martin Luther King talk about? Well, you didn't give black folks nothing. You ridded slavery from them, but you gave them no land. But you gave white peasants from Europe land in the West and the Midwest, okay? So we understand from an historical perspective where it all comes from, what the South represented at least once upon a time, and in some people's eyes still to this day. But we're going to lean on somebody when he was 14, born and raised in the South, and we're going to pick it up 66 years later to say, you know something?
Yeah.
You ain't hire a black coach. I think that's pretty low. I really, really do. I think that part is pretty low. If he were an adult, that would be different. But a 14, 15-year-old kid raised in the South who literally is just standing there looking, and we use that to bring up in the year 2022. Oh, this is where you are. You got to explain this. Yeah. You ready to explain what you did when you were 14?
Yeah.
How about you?
Right.
I can't. I don't know if I want to, especially how the world would perceive it today.
Yeah.
And I'm 55.
Yeah.
This man is 80.
Yeah.
66 years ago. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. I have a 14-year-old daughter, and, you know, at 14, I'm satisfied with the answer that he gave, that he was there out of curiosity. Wasn't like that he was there throwing something at the students. He wasn't out there yelling at him. There's no photo. It's a photo of him just saying, being curious. Yeah. And at how influential a 14-year-old in our time would be a ninth grader, influenced by 10th graders and people that you look up to about what's going on at your school.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder where the origins of this picture is coming from. And it just pops in my head, maybe Dan Snyder, you know, what he said about opposition and having stuff on people. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, because it's curious that this comes up at this particular time.
Because it's coming out of Washington?
Yeah. And the fact that it's coming up at this time when we know the heat is on the Commanders.
When Daniel Snyder has basically said, I got stuff on everybody.
Right. But for me, I can't hold a 14-year-old accountable for his actions, even if he was there yelling and screaming, because how influential, you know, you are at that age and following the crowd. But it does make me kind of look at the history of Jerry Jones when you think about, you know, he was the only owner that, you know, didn't allow his players to take a knee for the cause, mm-hmm. right? So you look at it that way, but I don't think this is a smoking gun, like, aha, we got you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been no records of him, no tapes of him, you know, saying, you know, derogatory things about the African-American community.
Right.
So for me, this is a nothing burger, and I know that, you know, in this cancel culture, we want to have mm-hmm. outrage. But I can't be outraged about a 14-year-old that's, you know, sitting there watching some black kids and maybe he's never had encounters with out of curiosity.
Can I just say one thing? Sure. As the only person that's not black, and I didn't know where you guys were going to go, you could have went the total opposite end of the spectrum and no one would have faulted you. So it's really big of all of you to show so much grace in this situation when you didn't have to. And I hope it's lended on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, I just wonder, what I do wonder about is not a 14-year-old who's in a picture 3 years after Brown versus Board of Education, right, when things are desegregated and people are opposing it. I don't wonder about that. I don't wonder about 65 years ago when, even if you weren't standing and protesting, a lot of people still believe what they believed about racism, about black people. I don't wonder about that. I don't even wonder about how, even if, you know, there was another incident in Arkansas with nine kids trying to segregate.
Right across the city. Right in the same city, miles away.
I don't wonder about that.
Right.
But what I will say is now you're 80 and you're an owner. And forget the picture. This is separate of the picture. You have an opportunity. And that, I think, was what the article was trying to point to. You have an opportunity to change hiring practices. You have an opportunity to help change even your kids and the culture of the NFL. Jerry Jones is a trailblazer. And when it comes to owners, a lot of owners don't really like him.
Right.
They don't really rock with him. Right. I've been in meetings with owners. I've helped them go. They don't really. He's a trailblazer.
Yeah.
And so why not be a trailblazer when it comes to not only hiring, mm-hmm. but also when it comes to leading a charge, not with just black coaches or GMs or whatever, but all the way across the board. Because that's the kind of opportunity that you have. You think about, like, how does change start? How do I make this make these changes I want to see? It starts with you. Like, Jerry, it starts with you actually being the one. I was negotiating the collective bargaining agreement, right? One of the nine players, executive vice president NFLPA, sitting across with Jerry Jones and all these people. And one of the things that I mentioned, I wrote about this in my book, right?
Yeah.
I said, Jerry, you have an opportunity to be an example when it comes to players and owners and negotiations. Why don't we trail that? Well, why don't we blaze that trail? And that's the point. The only point that I would make, separate of a picture from when he was 14.
65 years ago.
Is that right now, you can make changes. And you, not anybody else. Not, mm-hmm. I'm over here trying to, mm-hmm. I've written articles about Rooney Rules. We have conversations, you're on TV. He could actually hire somebody. He can do it when nobody else now can.
My retort to you would be this, and I don't disagree with you. It would be nice to see him do that. No doubt about that. But my retort to you would be, if you were Jerry Jones and somebody used a photo of you from when you were 14 years of age, 66 years ago, to sort of prompt and provoke a discussion that would lend itself towards the insinuation that maybe you are racist. Yeah. How incentivized would you be to do something then? Because it now lends itself towards this belief system that you're just trying to cover your own you know what because of the article. And to get to his point, it's very important that I bring this up. The whole Colin Kaepernick thing, let me give you the inside of what I was told about that. It's interesting you brought that up because it's consistent with what Jerry Jones talked about. When people were in opposition, to Colin Kaepernick and to him taking the knee. And the narrative was clearly hijacked because the former president used it as political fodder to buffer himself, and other folks within the party sat up there and joined right in unison and lockstep because they knew it would appease their constituency. Jerry Jones, I was told, called a business meeting with the players. He didn't say it was about football. He said it's about business. Mm-hmm. He said, when you do that down here, in this state, this is the kind of detrimental effect it could have on our bottom line. If it has an effect on my bottom line, it's going to have an effect on your bottom line. So in other words, when he says business, it's very believable that to him, it's business decisions. He ain't looking at certain things. He's looking at business. Because you've got white folks that are against him, just like black folks, for the reasons that you said. In the end, you are right. He should be the trailblazer that he is. He should make things happen. He's absolutely positively a phenomenal owner as it pertains to marketing and branding. He's brilliant. We all know this. What I'm saying is this. It's a damn shame that in the year 2022 that people can get away with, oh, this 14-year-old is standing there, and because of that, that's how we can look at him. I don't care what you think about Jerry Jones. Yeah. Me, but you, or anybody. He don't deserve that.
Yeah, so you feel like it smells and it was a gotcha moment for him, and a bit of...
They're trying to paint him as a racist.
Can I say one other thing? Yeah. You're confirming the fact, or you think it's valid, that he's truly making business decisions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I mean, it's you know, I think this is a lesson for us all, right? You know, we have to be careful because we've seen people get their Twitter, you know, for past tweets brought up and things like that. And this is just a older version of that. And so I think this is a tale for all the people and all the kids out there to make sure that they keep themselves clean.
Go ahead, real quick.
If anything, this could be a gotcha moment for America, right? Like, he wasn't the only person there in protest.
Yeah. Right.
And it wasn't like everyone else was protesting. We were saying segregation is bad. People thought segregation was a good thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And so Jerry Jones was 14 years old, this owner, prominent guy. So it wasn't just him. So anyone who wants to say, oh, gotcha Jerry Jones, it's really gotcha everybody else.
My last word would be this. If Jerry Jones was an adult, I got no issues.
Yeah.
The fact that this society, we've really taken major, major steps back. We've got some people out here who are miserable, and their definition of success is bringing somebody else down. Because when you can sit up there and pull a video, I'm not defending Jerry Jones per se. Again, I would like to see him hire a brother at some point, even though he's got brothers hired and what have you, African Americans. We get all of that. I understand that. And the record is not perfect. But I like the man personally, and I think that he's a good man. But the biggest thing is, even if I didn't, I would still come to his defense because when you are 14 years 65 old,
65 years ago,
66 years ago, and somebody is going to, if they can get away with doing that to him, none of us are safe.
Yeah.
Right. What you do 10 years ago? What you do 10 years? This 10 years ago.
You don't want to know.
No, I don't even, I don't even remember. 66 years ago?
But I think two things can be true, and I just want to wrap it up by saying this. I don't think it's ever fair to judge people by their worst moment.
Yeah.
And to Sam's point, at the same time, it also can be an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
So both things.
It's totally right. Sam's opportunity.
So
absolutely.
Let me get in a commercial real quick. We'll be right back. More First Take in a moment.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. It is a feel-good Friday, so that means it's time for Molly's Deal. Stephen A. Bart, let's get it. Stephen A., Aaron Rodgers going against Jalen Hurts in the NFC leading Eagles. Which quarterback will have more completions, Rodgers or Hurts?
I think Rodgers, because Rodgers is going to have to throw the football considerably more.
All right, Bart, Tua having a special season so far. How many total touchdowns will he account for in South Beach? Over, under 2.5.
I'm going to go over 2.5. I think, listen, he got a 4-by-1 team right now. We don't talk about Jalen Waddle enough. I think he'd definitely light up that Bucs defense.
All right. S.A., Tom Brady in Cleveland. How many passing TDs will Brady throw in front of the dog pound?
I'd say a minimum of 2. A minimum of 2. It'll be more than 1.5, of course.
All right. There we go. Coming up, top of the hour, number 23, Texas hosting Baylor in a Big 12 showdown. This is a must-win game for the Longhorns as they look to keep their hopes alive for a Big 12 championship game appearance. And huge week coming up. We're going to get into all of it after the break. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. All right, we got some good ones. Packers, Eagles, who you got?
I got Eagles.
Okay.
No question. It's Philly.
That's an easy one, man. Aaron can't, his joystick thumb don't work.
Oh, really? You're going to make fun of that bad man? I mean, he's going to lose. He's going to win. But you don't have to be disrespectful to Aaron Rodgers.
I love you, Aaron.
Bengals, Titans.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Mm.
I would tell you, I'm going with the Titans. I just like the way that they're flowing right now. I know the Bengals can beat them, but I think the Titans win this particular game.
I like Tennessee as well. Dominant on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Derrick Henry is now healthy. Last year in that playoff game, he was just getting back from a big injury.
The rematch, I tell you what, Ja'Marr Chase is believed to maybe come back for this game. Von Bell, Jesse Bates are great safeties. I think that's enough. I don't think Tennessee can score enough points.
Is Jeff Saturday getting a win?
Saturday on Sundays.
Against who?
Against Steelers.
Yes.
I don't know. T.J. Watt's back, baby.
Give him a win.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.